William Carey was a great missionary. And William Carey once said, attempt great things for God. Do you hear me? Attempt great things for God. Let's say that together. Attempt great things for God. One more time. I can't hear you. One more time. Do you want to attempt great things for God? How many want to attempt great things for God? Now, those of you that didn't raise your hand, I feel sorry for you, because you need to be available to attempt great things for God. After all, that's why we're here on planet Earth, to serve the Lord. And the church said, amen. Hey, look, I just came out of revival service, and I don't want a dead service this morning, amen. I might get a little excited, so if you fall asleep, I'm going to come right up to you and say, wake up, neighbor. Okay, so if you see somebody fall asleep, just nudge them and say, wake up, neighbor, don't go to sleep. Attempt great things for God. And watch this, here's the last part. Expect great things from God. Expect great things from God. Say it with me. Expect great things from God. One more time. Very good. Are you expecting great things from God? Are you really? Some of us just need our faith to be stirred or come back to life again. Are you attempting great things for God? Are you attempting great things for God? Are you attempting great things for God? You say, but Pastor, I'm just barely hanging in there. Hey, do more than barely hang in there. To attempt great things for God and then expect from God. Hey, look, we serve a great God. I said we serve a great God. Amen. Hey, look, if you don't believe in shouting, at least you ought to grunt. We're here to celebrate a living Savior, aren't we? Are you excited about Jesus these days? Have you kind of gotten complacent, lethargic, and just cold and lukewarm? We've got a great God. Amen. We do. Is your God great? Is your God great? My God's great. I'm not ashamed of my great God. Hey, but you know what? It kind of reminds me of the man that went to the barbershop, Brother Chris and Brother Charles. He went to the barbershop, Steve. And he went to the barbershop and... Donald, he went to the barbershop. And anyway, he sat there at the barbershop cabin, and he said to the barber, he said, man, I'm fixing to go on a trip. He said, all right, where you going? He said, I'm thinking the man that was sitting in the barbershop, barber was cutting his hair. He said, I'm going to Rome. He said, you're going where? He said, I'm going to Rome. He said, man, that's a dirty town. He said, that's a dirty place. Why do you want to go to Rome? He said, well, I just think we'll go just to go on a, you know, trip. And then the barber said, well, where are you gonna stay? He said, well, there's a hotel in Rome, and he named the hotel. And the barber said, man, I've been to that. That's a dump. He said, man, that's a terrible hotel. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't send my dog there, said the barber to the man. He said, well, we're going to go and stay there anyway. And then he said, by the way, the barber said to the man, what kind of flight are you going to take? And the man getting his haircuts told him what airline he was taking. He said, I wouldn't fly that airline for nothing in the world. He said, last time I flew them, they messed up everything. I wouldn't go there again. Lost my luggage. And then he said, by the way, what are you going to do when you get to Rome? And the man said, well, I'm going to go see the Pope. He said, you're going to do what? He said, I'm going to go see the Pope. He said, you won't see the Pope. You think you're going to go to Rome and see the Pope? He said, he's going to look like an ant. You're going to be so far away from him, you will never see the Pope. What do you think's going on? Well, anyway, the man getting his haircut said, well, I'll tell you about it when I get back. So a month later, he went back to get his haircut again after he'd gone to the trip. And he sat down in the barbershop's chair. He said, did you go to Rome? The man said, yes, sir, I did. He said, what'd you think? He said, well, it was a nice place after all. Really? Did you fly that airline that I was telling you about? I did. He said, they gave us a first-class seat. It was marvelous. He said, you stay in that old dingy, dirty hotel that I told you about? He said, yes, we did. He said, man, they just renovated $25 million. He said, it was beautiful. He said, it was first class, wonderful. He said, did you get to talk with the Pope? And he said, you know what? A matter of fact, I did. He said, you're kidding me. He said, nope. He said, they called me to the side, and he wanted to talk with a few people. Every once in a while, he'll talk with some few people. He said, I went up there and talked to the Pope. He said, what did he say? He said, the Pope looked at me and said, where in the world did you get that awful haircut? Some people are so negative, you know what I mean. Hey, look, our faith needs to be resurrected. I want to preach today on a little while and share with you what God did this week, and I appreciate your prayers. Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Take your Bibles again, and hopefully you're in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Stand with me, please, as you've been sitting a little while, as we journey on this particular time together. And I believe there's three reasons found in this particular text in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, why we ought to attempt great things for God and expect great things from God as a church. New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, I'm glad we've got a church that's willing to step out by faith to attempt great things for God. And thank God, God's been faithful to us. Can I get an amen? God has been so good to us. But often if we don't have faith in the Lord, great things from God. Who am I preaching to today? You say, but bless God, I don't feel worthy. None of us do. God takes ordinary people and he does extraordinary things. God takes ordinary churches and does great extraordinary things through great people who believe God and trust in him. And so we come to the book of Ephesians. Let me just go ahead and give you quickly where I'm going in the message. Number one, there's three reasons why we ought to attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. And here it is. Number one, do all the good you can. Do all the good you can. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that in a moment. Do all the good you can. Hey, life's running short and time's running out. What do? We better do it for the Lord now. I told y'all, I just came out of revival. I said, what we do for the Lord, we better do it now. Don't wait. Hey, look, number one, do all the good you can. Do all the good you can. Number two, with all the faith you've got. With all the faith you got. F-A-I-T-H. All the faith you got. Why? Because God's got all the grace you need. I said, God's got all the grace you need. Whatever you need, God's got. I'm about to start shouting right there. God's got all the grace you need. Now, I know you say, oh, but bless God, I'm having trouble and I'm going through this and, oh, poor pity me. Hey, look around. Somebody's got it worse off than you do. We got a lot to be thankful for. This is sufficient. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I know some of you are going through more difficult times than others, but how many believe no matter what we face this side of heaven, God's grace is all you need? And so how many of you need to right now just say, oh God, I want to do all the good I can with all the faith I've got because you've got all the grace I need. You've got all the grace I need. Yes, you do. Chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. You there? Say amen. And Paul the Apostle, this missionary journey, he makes his way over. Just about 3 years ago, we were standing in the archaeological remains of Ephesus. And he, of course, is describing this, the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 19. It was known for idolatry and false worship, namely Diana, the temple of Diana. And yet Paul, watch this, stayed 3 years. What did he do? He taught. And he, in the school of Tyrannus, worked 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock, tent making. After that, he taught the word of God. Stayed there 3 years. The town, the place was turned upside down. It was a renowned area where people were coming from all. And yet, the devil was stirred up. How many know the devil's not going to be happy when you're serving God? I can't hear you. I said, how many know the devil's not going to be happy when you're serving God? No, he's not. And so if the devil's after you, that's a good sign that you're serving the Lord. But you don't have to give in to him. You can resist him, amen? And he'll flee from you. But wait a minute, and I'm going to conclude, and then we'll read our text, and you can be seated. So Paul's run out of town. We find that in Acts 19. Why? Because he spoke, he said what it was. He said, hey, this is idolatry, and some of the folks there were losing money because Demetrius the silversmith was making all these idols. And anyway, bottom line, people love money more than they love God. Wow, sound like America. I said, people love money more than they love God. Sound like America. And they ran Paul out of town. Well, it wasn't over then, because God said it ain't over till it's over. And so look at Ephesians chapter 2. We begin reading in verse number 8. And I love the book of Ephesians. If you're noting this, note that the Apostle Paul didn't tell the Ephesus believers how to live the Christian life first. Rather, in chapter 1 and 2, he told them who they were in Jesus. And because of who they were in Jesus, this is how their lifestyle ought to be. We get that thing reversed. We say, well, now that you're saved, you need to do this, 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 and this. People need to understand who they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother and sister, when you understand who you are in Christ, it'll make a difference. It will. Watch this. Chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Are you there? Say amen one more time. For by grace, you know this very familiar, by grace, say that with me, by grace, one more time, by grace, God's righteousness at Christ's expense, God doing for us what we don't deserve, by grace, are you saved through faith? Are you saved through faith? Say that with me, please. Are you saved through faith? One more time. So by grace, are you saved through faith? Maybe there's somebody here that you don't have a personal relationship, like the puppets we're talking about a moment ago. Do you have faith in God? You say, but oh, I can't figure it all out. Hey, look at me. I can't figure out how a black cow can eat green grass and produce white milk, but I still drink it. Hello. You think you're going to try to figure out God? Come on, give me a break. Puny man trying to understand the incomprehensible. All I know is I'm a sinner and I've got a great Savior. Amen. That's all you got to know. I'm lost without God. There's something missing in me. I need Jesus to forgive my sin. I know there's got to be a better life. It's not found in pill. It's not found in booze. It's not found in what the world says. By grace are you saved through faith. Keep reading. Verse number 8. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Yes, it is. Not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast. If we could earn it, we'd brag about it. God said, it's not of your doing, but it's of my doing. He does the saving, praise God. And we do the letting, someone said. Anyway, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Workmanship, say that word with me. Workmanship, we are his workmanship. Poimen, created in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Unto good works. Say that with me. Unto good works. Say it one more time. Now don't miss the connection here. By grace, through faith, unto good works. By grace, through faith, unto good works. By grace, through faith, unto good works. Say it with me. By grace, through faith, unto good works. One more time. By grace, through faith, unto good works. Look at me. Where's your good works? You're saved. I know you're going to heaven. Where's your good works? Where's the beef? That's why we're saved. Unto good works. Not apart from him, but in and through him. Where's your good works? Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Look, verse 10, and I'll be done. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That is reading. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. Not to make $1 million. Not just to occupy space. Not just to go to work. Not just to provide for your family. Not just to teach your children. You and I are here to bring glory to God and serve the Lord. Amen and amen. Question, are you doing that? I said, are you doing that? I love you, but I got to be point blank with you. I don't want to beat around the bush and tiptoe around the tulips. I just want to go straight to the heart of the matter. Are you serving God? Are you glorifying the God? And if not, why not? Don't you think it's about time to stop making all kinds of excuses and running from God? You will never be happy. I love you. I got to tell you, somebody's got to tell you this. I love you, but don't you think it's about time that you get in on what God's got for your life? Hey, one day you're going to stand before the Lord. And so he's got a plan for your life. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Yes, I'm glad for that. Father, thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your blood. Lord, we thank you today. We can celebrate you've risen from the grave. You're not dead. You're not in a tomb. I thank you, precious Lord, that you've got a plan and a purpose for my life. I don't feel worthy. I know I'm not deserving, but it's not about me. It's about you. And God, I'm seeing you doing great things through your people. I pray that somehow, some way, today we'll look beyond our present circumstances, our troubles, our trials, our setting sins and things that weigh us down. We'll press on. Dear God, help us to press on. Help us, Lord, to march forward. Break us out of our apathy. Lord, to bring us out of the prison of doubt and fear and insecurity. Bring us into victory. Break the strongholds of Satan. And Father God, may you have all that is to us because you are worthy. And God, our Father, I thank you for being the best thing that's ever happened to my life. And the church said, we ask you to get glory, save the lost, revive the saved, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going to the message. Number one, do all the good you can. Do all the good you can. And number two, not only do all the good you can, but do it with all the faith you've got. Do it with all the faith you've got. Number one, do all the good you can. Now, there's no doubt about it. Around us, we're living in a time. I mean, right now, beloved, you better wake up. I'm well aware of what's going on in the news. I was well aware on Thursday night when I got a text message later in the night that America had bombed Syria with 59, I believe it is, those Tomahawk missiles. And I don't know what the future's going to hold, but I know God's in control. And I'm going to talk about more about that tonight as we study prophecy and the book of Revelation. Syria, Russia, oh my soul. I'm telling you, the Bible doesn't leave us in the dark. No, I don't look at the news and try to predict what's going to happen. Rather, I look at the Bible and say, this is where we're headed. I know we're headed for Jesus to come again. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to come again? Do all the good you can. Whether the Lord comes back in our lifetime or not, I'm looking for him, praise God. But if he doesn't, we still ought to do all the good we can. Why? Because we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now listen to me, don't miss this. We're not saved by good works, but if we are saved, there ought to be some works. Do you hear me? There ought to be some works. Where are the works? You know what, today, and I'm not being critical here, I'm not being negative because I fit in this category. But you know our problem as a Christian? We're seasonal Christians. One minute we're up, one minute we're down. One minute, Easter, we're thinking about the resurrection. Christmas time, the birth of Christ. But then where are we at the rest of the year? Can I say to you that God wants us to serve him 365 days out of the year, 52 weeks out of the month, out of the year? Serving the Lord's a full-time responsibility and privilege. And so I love you, but I gotta tell you, man, I know you need a break every once in a while, but serving God is from here until you get to glory. And so some of us just, again, need to stop blaming this and that and just, can I tell this to men? The men know I love them. Some of you men, you need to step up the plate. You need to put your big boy pants on and stop being a little wimp and start serving God. Come on, talk to me. Y'all getting quiet on me. Y'all getting quiet on me. Hey, somebody needs to tell you that loves you enough to tell you. Come on. And some of the women, you need to do the same. I love you. Hey, but what? Look here. If somebody knew that God wanted to do great things in your life and you couldn't see it and they could see it, Wouldn't you be kind of upset with them if they didn't tell you that God's got greater things for you in life, and if you'll just trust him, you'll find out that the Lord has got more things for you? I know I'm telling you sometimes, I'm not telling you this, by the way, about stepping up the plate and start being a man. Man up, woman up, because I know when you man up and you woman up, hallelujah, there's blessings, blessings, blessings. Don't you want blessings? Don't you want blessings? Oh, yeah. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. What are you attempting for God? You say, oh, but Pastor, I've been at this a long time. Well, have you got moss growing on your back? Have you gotten so old at this thing that you're not excited about the things of God? What is it? Have you just gotten to say, well, bless God, I served God back in those days. Well, look, I don't read in the Bible where God's got a retirement program. We're to serve God until we die. Whatever that means, you may not be able to do what you once could do, but thank God, do what you can. Amen. Do what you can. Don't worry about what you can't do. And don't, hey, look. All right, number one, do all the good you can. How many believe we need revival? Amen. We need revival. Wait a minute. You need revival. I need revival. It starts right here. Don't think and look at America and say, oh, bless God, look what's going on in America. Oh, yeah, I understand, but we need revival. But it starts in our heart. We're cold. We're indifferent. We're apathetic. We're complacent. We're up and down. It's me, Lord. It's me. It's me. It's me. Is there anybody in the house of God today that loved Jesus enough to step up and say, dear God, whether anybody else is revived, I must. Is there anybody in church this morning that understands God has much more for you than you've ever dreamed? If you'll just get in on what God has for you, do all the good you can. Do all the good you can. Say it with me. Do all the good you can. And then watch God do great things. I appreciate you praying last week. Had the privilege of being in Lake City, Florida, as I mentioned to you. Some of you are guests and visitors, so let me just back up and say, the city of Lake City, Florida, they see the corruption. They see the sin rampant. They see the cultural just mess we're in. They see our society going down. Oh yeah, there's hope. Oh yeah, there's a little change, but we still need revival. And you know what they did about it? They said, we're not going to sit back and whine about it. We're not just going to sit back and bellyache about it. How many know that we can all complain about it? But the question is, are we doing anything about it? Are we on mission for God? Are we attempting great things for God? That is every day. Your mission field is where you end up tomorrow morning. Your mission field is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Well, I'll tell you something. It doesn't take a great big crowd to do something for God. It doesn't take somebody who's got extraordinary ability to do something for God. God uses and chooses who He decides and who is willing to follow Him. How many today? Don't do it now, but in a minute. How many today, listen to me, here's our challenge. How many will today will stand up and say, dear God, I don't know what you've got for me. I want to attempt great things for you because I know you're a great God. And I know, dear Lord, you're able to do that which is far abundantly above all that I can ask or think. Dear God, stretch me out of my state right now. Bring me into your fullness of your will, and dear God, help me to see your glory, help me to experience and watch you move mountains and change lives and work in my heart. Grow me up so that when all is said and done, I'll praise you throughout all eternity. Are you willing to stand up today? This group right here, this lady right here, this lady that out there saying, Columbia County Area Churches, revival, April 3rd through 7th. That was last week. They're out there on the corner. How many of us would go out there in Monticello on the corner as cars are riding by holding up a sign? Oh, preacher, that's only for those, those fanatics and stuff that lost their mind and people cuss at them when they ride by. It reminds me of the two preachers were standing there in the roadside and people riding by. They had a big sign said this. Turn from your sin. Turn to God. Turn around. They hold up the sign. Turn around. People riding by them. Bonk, bonk, bonk. You idiot. Get out of the way. About that time, when they rode by the men holding up the sign, Christians were joining them, holding up signs. They heard a splash. Then another one rode by. They held up the sign. Turn around and turn toward God. Get it. Look at those fanatics out there. Bump, bump, get out of the way. And the car ride by. Splash. The two Two men looked at each other and said, you reckon we ought to tell them bridge is out down the road? We could say I-85 is out. Come on, somebody help me there. But anyway, so they're saying, turn around, turn around. Here was a vision that God put in the heart of one of the pastors down there. I'll show you a picture of him. This is a rodeo area. Look, folks, these things just don't happen. I'll talk a little bit about it in a moment. A rodeo, an outside arena. Who would ever dream that some churches would come together and praise God and worship the Lord and call the community back to God and preach the gospel and watch God do great things? You can see right here, look at the cars parked. They're parked all back here and back there. And I didn't get very many pictures, just a couple. This is just a couple of nights. I wish I'd have got more, but I was occupied with what the Lord had. Anyway, here was a choir that came and sang one night. And you can see that God is at work. And here's a picture of the building. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Do all the good you can. Here is the building. This is an outside facility. Right here is an arena where they have horses and bulls and cows and animals and so forth. Here is the steps. Do you notice what this is made out of? You see this? This is an outside. You see the clouds? How many know the weather was not only in Georgia last week, but in Florida too? Thunderstorms, tornado warnings all over the place. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Look, who would ever dream? Why have something there? Here it is from a distance. You can see nothing fancy about it. In fact, if you'll notice right here, it's made out of concrete. Look at all these seats up here. You mean people are going to come to something like that and sit on the hard concrete? Night after night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Uh-uh, Pastor, they're going to need padded pews. They're going to need, you know, this and that. Hard concrete seats. You mean people are going to come to that? I don't know. Last week at this time, I have no idea. I don't know. But here is another picture of this stage that they set up right here. Had a tarp behind it. And the seats were, like I said, in front of us. Here's the pastor. His name is Burl Harkey. He's going to be with us probably in a couple of weeks. Burl Harkey is a pastor of a Mission Start. This man retired from UPS. UPS drove a truck for 30 years. Now he's pastoring a new church start in Lake City, Florida, named Northside Baptist Church. Burl Harkey, what a blessing this pastor is. God put it in his heart. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. And then he began to see the vision. What could be, what should be. Hindsight, insight, foresight. Hey, look, he told me this himself. He drove a truck around Lake City for years and years and years. He never thought about doing anything like this. It was over the last 6 months that God put it in his heart. Hey, what is God putting in your heart to go back to school and do? To go back to your job and have a Bible study? What is God putting in your heart to do right now? To start having devotion with your family. What's God having you to do? To start a Bible study in your neighborhood. What's God having you to do? To begin to pray and intercede for the people around you that you know are lost. Burl Harkey began to get burdened for revival. And you know what he did? He went out in the community and he began to talk with pastors and churches. You say, well, we could do something right here down in Monticello. Hey, we've tried that and done that, and I'm not saying it won't work. If God's in it, God has to be in it. You just start planning your thing and start doing your thing and start finagling and manipulating and marketing and all that stuff. If God ain't in it, it won't fly. I don't care how much you organize. I don't care how much you plan. I don't care how much you do this and that. It starts on our knees in prayer. God bursts it in our heart. If God is up to work, he'll put his people praying and fasting and crying out to God, because one plus God is a majority. But I want to tell you, you think everybody in Lake City got on this? No, wrong. Hey, look, Jesus had how many disciples? Somebody help me. How many disciples he had? You sure didn't have 13? How many believe he had 13? Raise your hand. If you raise your hand, come to Sunday school. Amen. Even if you don't raise your hand, come to Sunday school. He had 12. And one of them was a devil. Hello. He had 11. Those men were putting their foot in the mouth like I do all the time. And yet they turned the world upside down. Aren't you glad that God has chosen the few? And God has chosen you. And he's chosen me for such a time as this. Hey, look. Attempt great things for God. And expect great things from God. Because we serve a mighty God. How big is your God? I've asked you this all through the years. Is he this big? Get him out of the box. Your God's been in the box long enough. Let him out of the box, because he's a great God, a big God. He can do far more than any of us imagine. May God stretch you today. May God enlarge your coast today. May God give you influence today. May God help you and me, whatever time we've got left. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Pastor went to church after church after church. You know what they told him? He went down to the association office. I know this is on tape, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You know what they told him down there? We tried that before. It didn't work. Just what I just said. Hey, we've had some events down there in Monticello at the Rose Bowl Field. I remember when we first came up here in 1991, I rode by that field and I said, dear God, wouldn't that be a wonderful place to have some kind of evangelistic event? But I want to tell you something. Everybody's not going to get in on what God's doing. We've seen, by the grace of God, do some great things at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church in some of our wild game suppers. We saw 600 men right out here. We've had a tent right out here. I don't know what the future holds, but I know time's running out, and I know being faithful to God every Sunday, teaching the Word of God, Sunday school, the children, Awanas, it's all leading up to doing great things for God. Do all the good you can. Do all the good you can. Here's Brother Burrow's wife. Her name is Laurie, and a lady that sang brought the house down. Her name is Gail. And anyway, this is Laurie Burrow, the pastor. He's going to be with us in a couple of weeks. He and his wife are coming. They're going to bring a mission church now. They just started about just 2 or 3 years ago. I was with them back in October. I met Brother Burrow just a few months ago. He's the one that called, said, Pastor, will you come and preach revival all week long? And what a blessing it was. But wait a minute. I want to go forward. This is a group called Mercy Mountain Boys. Man, the Lord was on them. You can see this big tarp. You talk about wind blowing 20 miles an hour. Every night, wind was blowing. We're talking about dust out there, dust in here. And yet these Mercy Mountain Boys, they were there every night. Sweet Spirit, unity, praying for revival. Lord willing, we may have them to come in our homecoming this coming August. Great things for God. This is the very first night of the revival meeting. One picture, and I prayed about it. I said, God, I don't want to grieve your spirit. I don't want to glory in the flesh, but I know our people back home want to see something. I know that they can't get a gauge on by pictures, but you can see the first night. All the people that responded, this is during the invitation, and you can see people lined up all across this arena. Up here in this area, hundreds of people that came. To God be the glory. God showed up and God showed out. Oh, to him be glory, to him be glory. But wait a minute. Do all the good you can with all the faith you got. Can I tell you what God did? And by the way, you were a part of it. You encouraged your pastor to go. Many of you prayed for us. Brother Kenneth Mason at our men's old-fashioned campfire meeting. We gathered around, our men did, and he began to touch heaven and pray for me, his pastor, that God would go before us. I want to tell you, I need people praying for me. It means all the difference in the world when the people of the church are lifting us up, because God is doing great things, not only right here in this place, but he's extending it beyond the four walls of the church, and I can't help it. It absolutely thrills my heart to see God stretching us out into the uttermost parts of the world. What a great God we serve. Amen and amen and amen. Yes, we do. We do. Now, some of y'all say, I don't get excited, Pastor. I've told you about that, hadn't I? You do get excited. The question is when you get excited. You get down at the ball field and you jump and hoop like a Comanche Indian, come to the house of God and look like a wooden Indian. Come on, give me a break. You let that junior hit a home run or that, woo! Oh, the Georgia Bulldogs! Woo! A Georgia Tech! Woo! Atlanta Falcons! A turkey! A turkey's coming my way. Boom! I killed a turkey. Woo! It was a Boone and Crockett record. Woo! Don't tell me you don't get excited. You get excited. And we ought to get excited about the things of God. Really? You say, I'm dignified. I'm dignified. I call it rigor mortis. You heard about the man that had a heart attack in the church? They took out two rows before they found out the right man. Hey, I know I'm not all ought to be either. I'm just telling you. house of God ought to be praising the Lord. Oh, yes, God's been good to me. But wait a minute. Here, I said all that. Say this. Look at this. How many know that God shows up even after everybody else leaves? Oh, I can't help it. 3 weeks ago, a man right here, 23 years old, after 11 o'clock service, stayed back, said, Jesus has changed my life. But let me tell you about this. Oh, praise the Lord. To God be the glory. This was on Thursday night. We had dismissed the crowd. Most everybody had left. But I tell you, God didn't leave. Oh, he's with us always. I said, he's with us always. And this dear man right up there, I saw him, a big burly man. This man probably weighed about 265, 70 pounds, probably about 6'1 or 2. This big man, I saw him, and he almost knocked me down to get to the altar. I was standing right over here. I saw him come. He just made a beeline out of the stands. Everybody was gone, but God wasn't gone, and he hit the altar. He hit the altar. He began to cry out to God. He began to say, dear God, I wish you could have been there. I was there. I looked and saw the tears dripping off the altar. That man named Chris on the other side of me, there am I. I put a coat on it, gotten cold about in the 40s. But there he is crying out to God. I got down beside him. By the way, the revival is for the church. But when the church gets right with God, God will save the lost. Today the great need is for the church to get on fire for God. And once we get on fire for God, the lost will see a difference in your life and my life, and they'll want to be a part of it. They don't want something that's dead. They want something that's alive. Well, I got down with that dear man. I said, dear God, as I began to pray for him, I said to him, after he began to cry out to God, I looked at him, I said, did God do something for you? He said, man, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, 29 years old. I said, well, man, you need to cry out to Jesus like somebody does here right now. He said, he began to cry out to God. I said, tell me something. Are you really saved? Are you really born again? I didn't ask you to have church membership. I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I said, is Jesus in your heart? He said, well, about at the age of 14 years old, he said, I went down the aisle. I said, I didn't ask you if you went down the aisle. I said, has there been a change? If there hadn't been a change, you need a change of life. Because when Jesus comes in, he changes you. Amen and amen. I said, when Jesus comes in, he changes you. And if you haven't been changed, you've not experienced the grace of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I looked at him. He was hem-hawing around like many of us in the house of God today, maybe. He was saying, well, at age of 14 years old, I went down the aisle. And I said, well, let me cut through the chase. All I want to know, and this is what I'm asking you today, what has your life been like since supposedly you were saved? Will you tell me that? Oh, some of you got false assurance. You're looking at a man right now who was a hypocrite. You're looking at a man right now who played church. You're looking at a man right now who was baptized at the age of 13 years old, lost as a goose in a hailstorm. I'm telling you, I played the game. I know how it is to go through the motions and yet not be a genuine Christian. I live for the devil. I serve the... Oh, I went to church and played my goody-two-shoe. You understand? I pretended like everything's okay. Like maybe somebody you, deep down inside. But God's word said, and that's why I told that young man, I said, either you're right or God's right. I'll tell you, God is always right. And the Lord said, hey, no one who's born of God is going to live habitually, continually in sin and wallow like a hog in the mire over and over again, day after day, night after night, week after week, because God spirits in them, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. 1 John 3 and 9 says, no one who's born of God commits sin that lives habitually, continually in sin. It doesn't mean you're not going to slip and fall, but praise God, you're not going to enjoy it anymore, because the Holy Ghost of God is going to be convicting you and be drawing you. And the question is, have you really got Jesus in your heart? Do you know that you know that you know? I said to him, like, I'm looking around today. How many of y'all that are here today, be honest with me now, don't be embarrassed, would say, Pastor, I had some kind of experience too when I was younger, but I really wasn't born again. I really didn't let Jesus take full control. I lived my own life. I'm not saying you weren't in conviction like I was at 13, But I didn't yield. I didn't surrender. I didn't let Jesus take control. Oh, no. I just had head knowledge 18 inches from my heart. How many today would say, Pastor, that happened to me too? And I've been saved since that time. There's one right here. Who else? 2, 3, 4, 5. Come on, somebody else. I know somebody else. I'm not calling names, but I know who you are right back there in the back. I was with you up there in my office when you got translated from darkness. How many else? How many have been baptized, but you know deep down inside you've been saved since you've been baptized? How many have been baptized, but you've been saved since you've been baptized? How many have fought, how many have not followed through baptism? Be honest. I'm not going to embarrass you. But how many of you say, Pastor, I've been really saved, but I hadn't really followed through? I've been baptized twice. Hallelujah. The second time is the real deal. Have you been baptized? How many of you say, Pastor, I hadn't been baptized. I need to be. Raise your hand. All right. One. Anybody else? Two. All right. Three. Good. I'm going to ask you, what are we waiting on? What's the deal? We're going to have an old-fashioned baptism down there at Lake Jackson here coming up. Won't y'all join us if you're really saved? Man, I can't think of a better place to be baptized, Lake Jackson. Somebody say amen. Come up with a catfish, all right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hey, but look, Chris, I said, Chris, this young man right here, cry out to Jesus. I said, if you're not saved, he just began to stop him hawing around and stop telling God how good he was. He said, dear God, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need a change in my heart. I know I need a change. And God's glory began to come down, and praise God, he passed from death into life, crying out to God. I want to tell you something. That young man went with us out to eat after the service was over. I saw him on Monday night. He was with us on Monday night. He sat there at the table on Monday night, and this is Thursday night, by the way. He sat at the table. His head was down. He was gloomy. He was doomy. I talked with him. I said, what's your name? He said, Chris. He never really looked up. This is on Monday night. I said, where are you from? He told me where he was from. He never looked up. He had this terrible look on his face. But on Thursday night, after the Lord came in and the devil went out, he looked up. He had a glow about him. He had the glory of God on him. I'm telling you, Jesus makes the difference. He does. And that's what the world needs to see. God making a difference in your life and in my life. Oh, bless the Lord. And the church. Yes. Thank you, New Rocky Creek, for praying for the revival in Lake City, Florida. Yes, thank you for praying. Do all the good you can with all the faith you got. Let me just quickly say this, and then I'll be done. Hey, how many know the storms rolled through not only here on Monday night, but down in Lake City every night? You saw the facility we're in outside. How many people you know would come to an outside event while tornado warnings are all around you? And hitting them, Georgia, Mansfield, you sent me a text, Brother Chris, I got it. Other Texas, trees are down all day Monday. And yet you got this event. Do all the good you can. Watch this. With all the faith you got. How many know it takes faith to believe God? How many know without faith it's impossible to please God? Hebrews 11:6. You think that I wasn't sitting there on Monday, driving in on Sunday night? We left church, got there about 1 o'clock on Sunday night, early Monday morning, and then Monday, all the news, storms are coming in. You better run for safety. And I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying a revival meeting is planned. I'm sitting there thinking, dear God, who's going to show up? The fear of all the people is much easier. How many know the news will scare you to death? If you sit there and watch the news all the time, you live in fear. But God's not given us a spirit of fear, but what? A power and love and a sound mind. Sometimes you got to step out. I want to tell you something. Hey, many of you were praying. I know you were praying. You told me you were praying, Tommy. You told me you were praying. And you know what? On Monday night, guess what happened? It was like the clouds. One went this way, one went that way. Man, the wind was blowing 25 miles an hour. You know all that dust and that dirt. I got there to the place, that arena, on Monday afternoon as they were setting up. And I opened my mouth and dirt flew in it. I could hardly talk. I said, dear God, how in the world am I going to preach here with dust and dirt flying everywhere? 25, 30 miles an hour gusts. How many know it'll blow me over? Somebody say amen. I've had flies flew in my mouth before there in Guyana. So anyway, as I was there in Guyana, somebody said, preacher, you got a verse for that? I said, yeah. A fly flew in my mouth. I said, you were a stranger, and I invited you in, all right? But that dust and dirt was flying all over the place. I'm told, man, do all the good you can with all the faith you got. On Monday night, the crowds went this way. I'm telling you, people were praying. God, we know you're in it. Lord, we know we need revival. Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. the clouds, not only on Monday night, Tuesday night, same thing. Weather, man, it's going to come up a storm. About that time, it wasn't storming during daytime. Right about the time we're starting, 6:37, the clouds, lightning. One night you could see lightning in the distance. But God stayed the storm. I'm telling you, well, I'm about to start shouting. God stayed the storm. I'm glad that he controls the wind and wave, aren't you? Oh, do you know the God I'm talking about? Do you know the God I'm talking about? Do you really know the God I'm talking about? Do you really know him? Oh, yes. Do all the good you can with all the faith you got, because God's got all the grace you need. He's got all the grace you need. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Today, right now, where you're at, what does God want to do in you? What does God want to do through you? Are you willing to attempt great things for God? It might not be the extraordinary. God takes ordinary people, does extraordinary things. But God is willing to use you and me if we're available. I wonder if you stand to your feet this morning.